All right, so we as he mentioned here, then we do the same kind of critique on Aristotle that we did to before materialism in the previous chapters. All right, so now let's move on to what we might call more specific religious type of worldviews, right? He says he's going to give us a quick course in comparative religion, that there are three basic kinds of religious philosophies. He says there may be other ways of slicing the cake, but he thinks that this one is going to work for us. So first, there are religions of transcendent mysticism, right? Religions of this sort, he tells us, place an emphasis on what goes beyond man's experience. So these are transcendent religions, that is, they transcend our experience, and they are mystical in their outlook. So that's kind of the first example that he wants us to see, right? Number three. So they eventually, he says, give up rationality and say that what governs religion is some kind of internal intuition or enlightenment or experience. So that's the transcend, these religions transcend our immediate and existence kind of thing.
Yeah, and makes it more personal there. Yeah, so the opposite of that are religions of immanent moralism. In these religions, it stresses is not upon what transcends man's experience, but rather on what's near at hand, the imminent or close at hand, the nearby. That's what imminent is. Like the end is near, it's very imminent. Some of these religions are actually atheistic, like Buddhism. They reject any transcendent reality. But their stress, whether they are atheistic or not, is on a god or religious forces that are close at hand, not outside the cosmos that transcends. So we talk about transcendence, especially in our last book, What About Evil? It doesn't go outside the cosmos and transcendence or outside our experience, but very much is a part of our experience. So it's kind of a more tangible, innate knowledge that you're doing.
Yeah, good. And so for that reason, he says these types of religions are moralistic rather than mystical, right? So they stress inner, instead of stressing whether inner enlightenment and intuition and irrational concepts or some form of mystical contact with God, they stress an ethical code that must be lived, out in a person's life. So it remains to ask, he says, with regard to these kinds of approaches, what is the source of what constitutes their ethical code, right? And he says a good example of this is Confucianism. Confucianism involves the following, following a particular teaching of the master, Confucius. And, so we need to ask the question, well, what's the source of the master's teaching? That's the main issue here, right? Where did it come from?
Right. And so if you've kind of been down the presuppositional route, the areas that we tend to talk about are the four that we've covered in previous chapters is the ability to do science, the ability to do logic, the inductive, the deductive, the existence of the mind rather than just the brain, and then objective morality. And so Christianity tends to want to focus on those four points of view because from those four points of view, we're able to establish why they exist and showing other areas or belief systems that don't hold to those factors in some way. And so going back to Nancy Piercy's book, it's the things outside the box that we want to say that they exist, but because of our carrying out of our belief system, we want to keep out of. And so while there's these parts of reality that we have to either say don't exist, or we have to say that they're make believe, or there's something along those lines. And so,
Yeah, I think she talks about reductionism, right? That we reduce this to this. So it doesn't really exist. It can be reduced to this. So, the mind doesn't exist for the materialist. It's reduced to brain processes, kind
And so
of.
here, when we're asking about things like Confucianism. Well, there's this guy named Confucius, and he says to live a moral life. And so if we follow him, then we're following Confucius. Okay, well, that might make you a good Confucianist, but we're wanting then to ask, well, why should we listen to Confucius? And so
Right.
that's this path that we're taking down, that we've done in other videos and other books as well, of saying, but why? And so what we're talking about here are kind of biblical counterfeits. There are other religions that are biblical counterfeits, and these are religions that have been influenced in one way or another by the Bible, or are conceptually very much like the biblical approach to God, but are still counterfeits. They have perverted the true revelation of God in some way, and there are kind of three subdivisions that we can look at in this category, and that are most helpful. They're polytheistic, they're either Unitarian, or they're pseudo-messianic.
So polytheistic, Unitarian, or pseudo-messianic. And so he wants to kind of work us through those particular approaches and then allow us to critique those approaches using his apologetic method. So first, the polytheistic approach, right? Poly means many. Theistic is God, so many gods. He says these religions have a biblical-like view of God. You know, that is their biblical-like, but they're not at all the biblical view. But they've picked up some things from the Bible, even though they believe that there are many gods. So the Mormons, for instance, is an example that he uses here. Right? They talk about God.
But this one in either polytheistic or pseudo-messianic, depending on which argument path you want to go to. But yes, very polytheistic.
Yeah, exactly. So the Mormons talk about God in ways that have connections with Christianity, and yet they believe that there are many gods. So that's why he kind of lumps that in here, right? Polytheistic view.
Yeah, and in fact, probably even more so than some of the Eastern religions like Hinduism. The fact that there's one god that spawns off many other gods, but there's also many other gods before Jehovah who spawns other gods and so on and so forth. So God's all the way up, God's all the way down. Well, even in different universes as well. All right. So then there are the Unitarian biblical perspectives. So poly one, uni one, or poly many, uni is one. So one Trinitarian. So this is focusing not on the Trinity, but on the singularity of God. And so this is religions that have somewhat a biblical like view of God, but do not believe in the Trinity. Instead, they believe there is only one person that is God. Islam is pretty much the biggest example of this, and Jehovah's Witnesses are another. The Archangel Michael was created by Jehovah, and then from there, the Archangel Michael creates all things and then changes his form to be Jesus. And so he's a God, but he's not the God, which is Jehovah. And so he's just kind of this demigod figure in Jehovah's Witnesses. So ultimately, they're Unitarian as saying, oh, yes, God has made all things because he made the one being that makes all other things. So God's kind of that first step for them. So while we might think of them possibly being polytheistic because of what they change in John 1 of being a god among other gods, they're actually a Unitarian version of this kind of belief system. And then finally, we have pseudo-messianic biblical counterfeits. They have false saviors. They are leaders whom they put in place of Jesus. One of the most notorious examples, probably in more so in Bonson's day, but probably littler Jesus's these days. But one that he picks is Sun Moon Yun, or Sun Yun Moon, I think that's it, who claimed to be the third Messiah and had a big revival and came from, I believe, South Korea. I believe the program Cultish from Apologia Church had a couple episodes that took a look at him. So
into marriages and stuff. He would have these huge, like, hundreds and hundreds of people getting married at the same time. He was a big marriage guy. All right, so what he does next then is kind of give us a summary, and then he's going to work through these various religious type worldviews, right? So he says that we have these different approaches to worldviews. Atheistic materialism says that there's only one kind of thing, and it's physical. Platonic dualism says that there are two kinds of things, you know, body and soul, ideas as well as the physical world. And then he tells us now we have these religious worldviews, of which there are three kinds. One that says, you know, the emphasis should be on what transcends man's experience. Ones that focus solely on man's experience and therefore on ethics. And one that in some way is kind of what he calls aping the Bible, right? And of these, there are three kinds, these kinds that kind of, you know, mimic the Bible: polytheistic, Unitarian, and pseudo-messianic. And so what he's going to do now is just run through these three religious options, and he's going to give us one example and show us how that we can, using his methodology here, refute that particular approach.